everyone that shared. Good stuff. Well, we are in a series on the book of Revelation, and if you're just joining us today, we've been saying, this is week number 9 of our series, and we've been saying that, Revelation, obviously, we think of it oftentimes as the book that has all the scary stuff, the end of the world stuff, and so on. And there is a lot of that stuff there. But the purpose of Revelation is that it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And it is the revelation of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of all that God has planned since before He created the world. The entire story that we find in the Scriptures from Genesis to Jude is summed up in Revelation. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, we read this our first week together on this series, but it says this: "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." And so the question maybe for us in the 21st century as we hear that, why is this emphasis on reading it aloud, right? And first of all, I think, that is how anyone would read the Scriptures in the first century. We are so blessed to have any translation, English translation of the Bible you want, or whatever other language you may speak, a copy of the Bible, and you can order them on Amazon. You can have, I've got 10 Bibles on my shelf in my office. We got probably 10 more at home on shelves, and we got all kinds of Bibles, right? But in the first century, nobody had a copy of the Bible in their house. Because it was too expensive to own a book. They would be at your gathering place, synagogue for the Jews, and wherever the Christians would meet. The Bibles would be there, the scrolls, the whatever they had would be there, and they would come together and hear the word read aloud. That's how it was read. But not only that, John knew that to be still and listen, allowing their imaginations as this book of imagery is read, allow their God-gifted, God-created imaginations to be used for one of the greatest purposes our imaginations could be used for. As they listened to the word read, John hoped that they would enter into this visual experience that he had and encounter Jesus with him as they heard the word read. And so the Revelation is a very visual book. Every chapter is describing another imagery and pictures that John saw was revealed to him. And John wants us to see it with him. The most common command instruction in Revelation is look. John wants us to look with him and see what he's seeing. So here's what we're going to do. I am going to read chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation. I invite you to Maybe close your eyes if you can stay awake. If you start to snore, your neighbor has permission to elbow you. Maybe close your eyes and let your imagination carry these images and enter into this with us this morning. And then I've got some things I want to say, and then we'll shift gears. All right, so here we go. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the sevenfold Spirit of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I looked and saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the sevenfold Spirit of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. With your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. The reading of God's word. John steps through a portal into the throne room of God and takes us with him. Wow. So a couple things I want to say today. First of all, there is a throne. I got my first pair of glasses when I was 10 years old. I remember it vividly because I remember putting on my glasses, my new brand new glasses, in my dining room in our family home and looking out the dining room window at the tree across the road and being shocked that I could see leaves on the tree. Before that, trees had just been blobs of green, but I could see every leaf, and it was amazing. The lenses we wear matter. We all have a set of lenses through which we see the world. We were given those lenses by our parents, by our experiences as a child, through our classmates and teachers and the influences in our life. But all of our lenses are faulty, and we all see the world skewed and wrong. And we need a new set of lenses so that we can see the world as it is. The world is not what we thought it was. It is so much more than jobs and houses and kids and money and governments. But there is a spiritual dimension to the universe, to the world, to our lives. The heavenly dimension is real. It is inhabited, and it intersects with the world that we can see, touch, and smell. Heaven is never presented in the Bible. This is one of our wrong lenses. Heaven is never presented in the Bible as some far off place, way out in space or in another galaxy. Right? We have that growing up, you know. Heaven is out there in space somewhere. And the first astronauts went into space and they said, "Well, there can't be any God because we didn't find him out here." Right? But that's silly, because that's not, the Bible doesn't even say anything about God being out there somewhere. But John is on a rocky island in the Aegean Sea, sitting on a pile of rocks, and suddenly he looks over, and there is a interdimensional portal that has opened up. And within a stone's throw, he sees the glory of the heavenly dimension right there. He says, and NIV doesn't do this justice, because it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door. But in the Greek it says, after this I looked, and look, there is a door. John wants us to look with him and see that there are portals around us, that heaven is here, not out there somewhere, but heaven is near. God is with us. John hears the voice of Jesus invite him through the portal, and he suddenly swept through the portal. And John, when he comes through it, the first thing he sees is a throne. And that must have been encouraging to John, because here he is sitting on a barren island because of the emperor Domitian, sitting on another lesser throne, who had banished him to this island. Not only that, but under his reign, 40,000 Christians had been killed for their faith, including Timothy, who had been beaten to death in John's own city of Ephesus. The world seemed to have descended into chaos, and John must have wondered at times, as we must wonder at times, is there still a throne? Is there still someone sitting on it? Is there still someone ruling this mess? The throne is important in the book of Revelation. John uses the word throne 47 times in 22 chapters. It is the centerpiece of this book. Folks, you and I may feel at times as well like the world is pulling itself apart. The Middle East has erupted again this week into war. The stock markets are volatile. Tariffs are looming over our economy. And on it goes. I am 56 years old. Now y'all know. 56 years on this planet. I have seen in 56 years some fearsome regimes topple. Pol Pot, the monster who ruled Cambodia and killed 2 million of his own people in cold blood. Nikita Khrushchev, the dictator of the Soviet Union. In fact, the entire Soviet Union was dismantled. The Berlin Wall came down. Apartheid ended in South Africa in early 90s. Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, Tito in Yugoslavia, and on. Empires and rulers, folks, come and go. Do not fear, do not be overwhelmed by political trials and troubles. There is a throne, and the one who sits on it rules over all. John describes the elders. I mean, these we're not 100% sure who these are. They could be ancient supernatural beings that are part of God's council. But more likely, they represent the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New. kind of makes me wonder when one of them speaks to John and says, it's okay, don't weep. If that was future John talking to current John, saying, it's okay, buddy, you're going to be all right. Right? We see the cherubim, the four living creatures that we also encounter back in Ezekiel, these strange beings that are guardians around the throne and carriers of God's mobile presence in the book of Ezekiel. And they cry out over and over, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is and is to come. Thrice holy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Is the Lord God Almighty. That word Almighty, it's the word Pantocrator. It means having all authority, ruling over all. The one with all authority. Remember that throughout Revelation, there is a constant contrast of empires and kingdoms and powers of this world with the kingdom of God. It's part of a conflict that has raged from Babel to the Pharaoh in Egypt to the nations of Canaan to Babylon to the might of Rome. But the powers of this world can rage all they want. They are a joke before the Pantocrator, the ruler of all. We see a sea-like glass in front of the throne. What is that all about? In the ancient thinking and ancient literature, including the Bible, the sea, the ocean, the waters are always symbolic and representative of the chaos, the wild, untamable chaos and dangers of the cosmos. In the first verses of Scripture, we hear, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters." Unlike the creation myths of other nations around Israel, where the gods tried to tame the chaos of the seas and were unable to, Israel's God hovers over the waters and demands that they obey him. In Job, Leviathan is the sea monster that embodies the chaos of the waters, and God puts a hook in his mouth and a rope through his nose and tames him like a pony. Jesus calms the storm with a word, and the disciples fall on their knees and worship him because they know this is the one who tames the chaos of the universe. And now before the throne is a sea like glass, not a ripple of chaos anywhere. Everything has bowed its knee to the purpose of God. The one on the throne is not only described as beautiful like precious gems, with rainbow like emeralds surrounding him, but at the same time, terrifying, with powerful lightning shooting from his throne, and the most powerful beings in the universe falling down before him in worship. There is a throne. The second thing this morning is the question, who is worthy? God the Father, sitting on the throne, holds a scroll with seven seals on it in his hand. We're going to learn a lot more about those seals starting next week. But he's holding this scroll with seals in his hand. And they look around to see if there's anyone worthy to open this the seals on this scroll. John weeps and weeps. But someone, maybe his future self, turns to him and says, don't weep, because the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he is worthy. Remember Jacob, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Jacob in Genesis 49, speaking over his sons on his deathbed. And to Judah, he says this, you are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares rouse him? The scepter, right? The symbol of kingship and rule. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. When John is told, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's here, and he has overcome, and he has the authority. That's who he's talking about, Jesus, who is. Jesus is not only creator and ruler of the universe, but he became a human, entered into the line of David that he might have legitimate claim to the earthly throne that had been prepared for him from the beginning of God's story. In Genesis 12, Abraham had been promised that through him and his family, the nation of Israel, all the nations of the world would be saved. And it is through the kingship of Jesus over spiritual Israel that all the scattered nations of the world that had been given over to the spiritual powers at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11 could now be brought back into the family of God. The Lion of Judah has been victorious and has the right and authority. By opening the seals, he inaugurates the final events that would bring about God's new creation. Notice, John is told of a powerful, conquering, victorious lion, and he turns to look and sees a lamb that looked like it had been slain. The lion is the lamb. Jesus did not conquer the way the kings of the world conquer. He conquered by laying down his life, not by taking the lives of others. And the cry goes up, you are worthy because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God the persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests. In God's human family, his angelic family, and all of creation, says every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, cries out in worship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Folks, worship does not begin at 10:30 when the countdown up here says it's time to start our worship service. And it does not end at noon when Bob, who's not able to join us today, but when he usually gets up and sends us all home. But when we worship God, whether here or at home or in our cars, we step into a never-ending worship service happening around the throne of God, giving him the glory that he alone deserves. Amen? Amen. We have saved some time this morning because I want us to do just that. join our hearts, our voices, our lives in worship to Jesus for the next few minutes. So I'm going to ask the worship team to join us once again. And folks, this morning, I would love it if you would feel free to worship however you most fully express your love for God and your connection with Him. And if it's to stand where you are, then stand where you are. If it's to kneel where you are, then kneel where you are. If it's to walk around this room, feel free to do that. If you want to come and find a place to kneel at the front or just come and stand before the Lord, I want this to be an overlap, that God would allow this space this morning to overlap with God's throne room, that we would meet with Him here this morning. Let's stand, or not, or kneel, whatever. We'll start you standing and you can go from there. Holy,
holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I adore you, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. We give you glory, God. There is no one like you. You are majestic. You are holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Praise you, Lord. You are worthy of it all. bow before your throne. All the elders cast their hands before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all.
Song. It's a little older song.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Oh, blessing and honor and glory and power forever. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever. Be blessing and honor. Blessing and honor and glory and power. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever.
Worship you, Lord.
On the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Be blessing and honor, glory and power forever. Be blessing and honor and glory and power. Be blessing and honor and glory and power. Be blessing and honor and glory and power forever.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory and honor and praise. There is no one like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, church, let me encourage you. First of all, as you walk through this rocky, dusty, messy world that we live in, know that heaven is close. Know that there is one who sits on the throne. No matter what things look like, no matter how messy they get, no matter what kingdoms rise and fall, there is one who sits on the throne and we can trust him. And let me encourage you as you go out from this place today to let this moment, this encounter that we've had this morning with the presence of God, let it refresh and renew your times of worship. Don't wait till next Sunday at 10:30 to worship Jesus. Spend time in his presence this week and know that you are stepping into a worship service that never stops. You're stepping into the presence of the King. You can worship him and connect with him anytime. He has stilled the seas, and he has a plan and purpose not only for your life and your family, but for this world. The new creation is coming. And it's already started. So, Father, I thank you for every person here this morning, every person who's joined online. God, I pray that today we would walk away from this time today wanting more. Wanting more of you, wanting more of your presence. May you meet us in our Tuesday and in our Wednesday and in our Friday, that we would know your presence close, that we would walk in victory because the Lamb has overcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you would like prayer for anything, we are available.